بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. السلام عليكم everyone. My name is Mehreen.
And my name is Zainab.
And we are your co-hosts for today. Today's episode is going to be a bit different from our normal episodes as we have some very different guests today. Today is a walk down memory lane and a peek into the future.
Today, we actually have two generations of UNSW-MSA vice presidents. Actually, that's a lie. We have three because Mehreen, our co-host, is actually one herself. So our two guests today, we have Iqtimal, who is our current VP for 2024. And we also have Afra, who is our 2025 future VP.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
There's a slight chance that not everyone has met you, Iqtimal, or you, Afra. So a little introduction into Iqtimal. Iqtimal has been, as Zainab said, the current vice president for UNSW-MSA for 2024. And Afra has been elected as the vice president for 2025. Iqtimal, if you could introduce yourself to the audience, especially for those that maybe haven't met you in person yet, how would you give a short introduction about yourself?
So obviously, my name is Iqtimal, as you guys said. I'm currently a fifth year law and criminology student, and I'm due to graduate in like literally 2 weeks or less. And I've been the vice president for the whole year this year, and there's not much more to say, to be honest.
And Afra, if you could introduce yourself as well.
Yeah, so my name's Afra. I am currently a third year medical student at UNSW, and alhamdulillah, this year I was the assistant socials lead for the MSA, and inshallah next year I will be vice president of the MSA, so looking forward to it.
So let's start right at the beginning. How long have you guys been in the MSA scene?
Okay, I can start, inshallah. So I think around 2 years ago, or maybe longer. Our third year uni, I was introduced to the MSA through a friend of mine, and also I had attended a halaqa that was run by the socials team at the time, which pulled me into the MSA. And from there, from that halaqa, I met some people and eventually got into the dawah chat. That was my first interaction with the MSA, and I had stayed in that dawah chat for quite a bit. And then, because I don't stop talking, I eventually became dawah lead for that next year, and then transitioned into vice president. But it was all thanks to a halaqa that I actually had watched that the MSA had done. And I remember clearly it was led by Hajar. And Hajar, in fact, at the very beginning, when I used to just like not have any idea about these associations, Hajar was the one who actually came up to me and was like, "Oh yeah, by the way, I haven't seen you before. Are you in our chat?" I told her, "No, like I haven't seen this chat before." And she just straight away added me into it. And that's like my interaction with the MSA, basically, and how I got to know it.
For those that don't know, Hajar used to be our vice president back in the day. Like Iqtimal said, the first person that sort of had that interaction with her. And this goes to show how important it is for us as Muslim sisters on campus to really, you know, greet each other with a smile and create that community. We'll move on to Afra.
Okay, so for me, I think coming into uni in first year, I always knew that I wanted to check out the MSA just because of stuff that I'd seen online in year 12, you know, talking about different MSAs and just the really great experiences that people had from those. And as someone who didn't go to an Islamic school, I was really, really excited to have the chance to be a part of that community. And so I remember distinctly in O week of my first year, I was walking around the stores with my friends, and I saw nestled among them was the MSA store. And now at the MSA store, there was only one brother there, but I was just so determined that I wanted to join the MSA that I went up and I signed up, even though it felt quite awkward at the time. But alhamdulillah, it was really good because that brother, he actually was doing medicine as well, and he gave me some really good advice that I am still very grateful that I heeded to this day. But that was my first sort of interaction with the MSA. And I think during first year, I never really formally volunteered with anything, but myself and a good friend of mine, Faisal, because we sort of had connections with some of the people who were in the MSA in older years, we'd sort of tag along to events sometimes. We'd sort of volunteer ad hoc. I remember meeting Mehreen at one of those events. I think it was a barbecue or something like that. And we just loved it. And so at the end of my first year, I applied to be the marketing co-lead. And so that's what I did in second year, being an extended shura and seeing how things worked a little bit behind the curtain. And then I found my calling, so to speak, in social events. And so I decided to run for social lead for 2024, and alhamdulillah, here we are now.
Wow, mashallah, that's what an introduction to the MSA. You know, that's actually kind of funny because I too started off in media marketing, extended shura, and have now made my way to socials lead. Whoa, the parallels are uncanny.
Full circle moment,
honestly. Anyways, knowing that you guys both got drawn into the MSA in very, very different ways, I'm sure you guys both heard different things about the MSA. Like, for example, Iqtimal got in through, you know, someone she met, and then Afra got in through what she saw online. I'm sure you guys have both heard different things from different places. I want to know what's some kind of misconception or something that you knew about the MSA that was changed once you joined, like once your opinion was changed once you joined.
So one of the major misconceptions that I think exists among people, and I think I thought of originally also, was that the MSA was an association for marriage, which is definitely untrue. So a lot of people walk into it thinking that that's what the MSA is about. But like, that is actually the last thing it's about. A lot of people who enter the MSA think of the MSA as a work environment, like any other job. And the last thing you think about is, well, who am I going to marry in the MSA? Like, it's not really something you think about or even crosses your mind, to be honest, unless you've come into the MSA with that intention. And that's why we do our best to, you know, try to figure out or ask people, you know, what do you want from the MSA? Because if they're coming in wanting something that is not necessarily conducive to their self-improvement, then we kind of put a halt to that, because we know that what you're coming in for something that isn't necessarily beneficial for yourself or for anyone else on the team. So yeah, I think that is definitely one misconception. But I did somewhat have an understanding of how MSA would run, because before I was in MSA, I actually used to be for a very, very short time in the ISOC shura. So sort of in the ISOC shura, I didn't have a role, but I was there and present in their meetings for a slight amount. And yeah, so I had an idea that this was not what was important. What is important is that you're working for a goal, an Islamic goal altogether.
Yeah, so I guess what I would say is, I don't think it was a misconception that I had. I think, honestly, going into it, going into first year, I was quite naive about a lot of things. So I don't think it even really crossed my mind to have this misconception. But I do know, having heard from a lot of people, that a big thing is that people think that the MSA or the people in the MSA are quite judgmental. You know, that they think that there's only one way of being Muslim, that, you know, you need to be really strict on a lot of things. And if you're not doing that, then everyone's just going to give you side eye for it. But I think truly that is not the case in the slightest, because there's such a range of people who come through the MSA. And I think the beauty of our association is that, you know, wherever you're at, there's actually a really, side note, but there's a really lovely podcast by a lovely Muslim sister called Wherever You're At. I highly recommend it for people our age at university, because she does address a lot of the things that we sort of encounter. But going back to my point, I think the beauty of the MSA is that wherever you're at, the MSA will nurture you to achieve what you want to achieve and become the best version of yourself, become the best Muslim that you can be. And there isn't judgment in that, because everyone is on their journey. And we know that even if your sin is public or private, everyone has something that they're struggling with. And so I think it's wrong to say that the MSA is, you know, a judgmental or a judgy environment, because really at the end of the day, everyone is struggling and everyone is trying to strive to be better.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. I remember when I first came into the MSA, I actually had no idea about what it was like the whole marriage judgy, like I knew nothing. I came in blind eye. But I can definitely see that I slowly developed that understanding as well, purely because of what people would tell me. They'd be like, oh, I would get, you know, people would be like, oh, you just want to get married, or oh, like they're not going to like you. But I can agree, it's definitely not like that as well, because everyone's on their journey. And I think other people also say this as well, but anyone who comes out of the MSA scene after being in it for a long time, they often come out a better person, better Muslim, better individual. I think we all personally know a lot of stories like that as well.
Yeah, and I can definitely personally agree with that. As someone who has been in the MSA scene for 3 years and plus, at the end of the day, I always use this analogy. You know, you find what you're looking for. And if you're looking to benefit out of the MSA, there is no doubt about the fact that you hear more good stories than bad. And that's what we hear today. So that's why Afra and Iktimal both share those experiences of growth that they have been through. Now, if I was to ask you, Iktimal, how has being vice president of the MSA for a whole year impacted your uni life?
I was actually strategic about this prior, and I actually made sure that I only had two subjects a term to do. So this has, like, in terms of the study aspect of my uni life, I tried to limit the impact as much as possible because I reduced the workload I needed to have. Unfortunately, throughout the year, I found out that I actually missed two subjects that I haven't done. And now I'm doing them in term three, so I have a full load in term three. But yeah, I anticipated that it will take a toll. And I know it does take a toll because I saw previous VPs before me, cough, cough, Marine. I saw it take a toll on her as well. But that isn't to say that there definitely wasn't times where I had to like make sacrifices for my study. Like, no matter how much you try to take into account, you know, the amount of study load it's going to affect, you'll still end up in times where you can't really say, I want a break, or I need to schedule out this, or I need to, you know, I have to just leave this alone for a minute and what's it called, focus on my studies. It's very hard to do that. Not even from, like, not from the fact that there isn't a culture like this. Obviously, there's a culture in the MSA where you can take breaks and you can take time off if you need it for your studies, and you're allowed to prioritize that. But I knew that on my shoulders there's an amana, you know, and someone worded it really well, that there's the sword of leadership over your neck. And you have this feeling in your mind that I can't just sit on the sideline and watch things go the way they are going, and not make a sacrifice and try to actually work on making sure this is improved, or this is working out, like assisting in some way, making sure I'm contributing in some way. Like, as a leader, that's what ends up happening. So no matter how much I tried to, you know, account for the workload, account for how much I needed to do, it always came back to the fact that I still needed to make a sacrifice. I still needed to actually spend time that I would have otherwise preferred to have been studying in, spend it on the MSA, because, you know, I need to spend it. It's an amana on my shoulders, and I need to be able to fulfill that amana that's on my shoulders. As for my university social life, improved a lot more. Like, to be honest, before MSA, I barely knew anyone. Like, genuinely, I was lonely in uni. As soon as I joined MSA and after I became VP, in fact, like, the community of sisters has been amazing. And I definitely have a much closer circle than I did, you know, back before MSA and before being VP.
Looking at your leadership, in terms of, you know, the first thing you jumped onto was study load, going into how, you know, you had to cut this, cut into that. I know a lot of people come into uni, obviously, to come and get an education and to study. And sometimes we do forget that these years that we do spend at uni are not just the years that we spend on, you know, getting this module done on that or that module done. It's actually very, very vital years of our youth. And we forget the amount of free time we have. And with MSA, like you said, a lot of our not only free time, but the time on top of that gets utilized. You know, I would say instead of sacrifice, utilize. And that then in turn shows fruitful when we see that character development in ourselves. In terms of character development, how has being VP impacted your character as a person?
It's definitely changed my character. So just on that previous point you mentioned, I agree, yeah. And I don't think it's blameworthy to like focus on your studies, in fact, because that in and of itself, like if you're doing that for an Islamic purpose, like go for it. But I always believe that as Muslims on campus, we need to be more ambitious. We need to look for trying to make the most of our time on campus, trying to make the most of our time at university. You know, you have this time now alongside your studies to impact the community and make a lasting effect. Why not take it up? Even you don't have to, no one's telling you to go for the role of VP. Like, obviously that's not for everyone. Not everyone can take such a leadership position, or not everyone wants to take such a leadership position. But you should make an effort to do something more while you are on campus, because you can. If you have time to like socialize, spend time with friends, go out on outings every single week, you'll have time to help plan one event, or you'll have time to do something Islamically beneficial with your time. Try to make the most out of your uni life, because at the end of the day, also when you're at uni, you're surrounded by people who are very different in culture, they're very different in religion, and you want to have a way and outlet to actually manifest those parts of your identity. And the MSA, I think, is a really good outlet for that. It's not the only outlet, but it's definitely a very, very good one to do so.
Has the MSA made you more proud of your Muslim identity on campus? Like, you know, we do come to a campus where Muslims is kind of like a minority. Of course, we see the numbers going up every year, but has being in the MSA made you more proud of being a Muslim? Or were you already proud of being a Muslim?
I think 100% being a part of this community, it just inspires this feeling within you that I'm part of something bigger. And, you know, a lot of the times when people say things or they act a certain way towards you just because you're Muslim, knowing that you have such a strong connection with the community behind you to support you if, you know, things do go haywire or anything like that, I think that is something that can't be ignored. And again, speaking from personal experience, having been one of very few Muslims at my school, I think coming to uni and actually being surrounded by so many more Muslims, seeing them be so proud of being Muslim, it just has a beautiful effect on you. And I think being part of the MSA has made me a lot more proud.
100% also, I agree. And I would actually say that more than it making me be proud, it made me more confident to be outwardly Muslim. You know, usually when you're in an entirely non-Muslim environment, you try to fit in or you try to hide your Islamic identity. But when you are surrounded by Muslims, you know you have that support system behind you. When push comes to shove and you actually have to show your Islamic identity, you know, well, there's like 20 other people I know who go through the same thing and they show their identity. Why can't I show mine? Like, it's a part of me, right? And I want to be able to show that to other people. And knowing that I have people in the MSA who are willing to do exactly the same thing, who are willing to be confident in their Islamic identity, it made me so much more confident as well. It made me not hesitate to actually say I'm Muslim or to pray. Like, something was, like, I used to get shy to pray in public. Not shyness because I was shy from the din, but, like, just shy of people looking at me weird or judging me or stuff like that. Or, you know how people say, you know, you might get attacked if you pray in public. But since then, like, I've just prayed in public now. Like, since I joined MSA, I just pray in public because there's 20 other people who do it and nothing happens. And they're happy about it and they're proud of it. And if I need to pray, I have to prioritize my deen first and foremost. Doesn't matter where I am, doesn't matter who's looking, I need to pray. That's the I pray. So definitely built a much greater sense of confidence in myself to be Muslim and to express that Islamic identity compared to prior to it.
You reminded me of this thing I heard the other day, subhanAllah. It was, if Allah is your protector, then who can harm you? And I think we need to constantly remind ourselves of that, especially when we feel fearful of being outwardly Muslim.
I was just thinking, it reminded me of something I heard someone say earlier this year, and it was like, as a Muslim, you should always be unapologetically Muslim, because you don't see anybody else, you know, being apologetic or, you know, changing their ways for you being the Muslim. So why should you? And that really shifted my view in a funny way. But I think that's a really good mentality to have, because like you can apply it to everyday life, whether it be praying in public, whether it be, I don't know, skipping class to pray, or whether it be going to do like something, or whatever you're doing for the MSA, it's your work towards the Ummah. And I feel like everyone should remember that to some degree. Anyways, moving on. Well, we've talked about the deep stuff, but now Afra, we want to hear what you're most excited for in your upcoming presidency.
Oh, what I'm most excited for. I think one of the things that I'm most excited for is really to get our new batch of first years and be able to see them grow in the way that I saw the first years grow this year. Being able to introduce more people to the MSA. I think if anyone is familiar with how O-Week works, we usually get a really big influx of people signing up during that time. And it's really wonderful to see, you know, all these fresh faces joining our community. Maybe they're in first year, maybe they're PhD students and they've never heard of the MSA before. But either way, they're sort of able to engage with us and they're able to take something positive away from their experience of engaging with the MSA. So I think, yeah, definitely looking forward to all those new faces and inshallah being able to provide, I guess, a home away from home on campus, inshallah.
That's so sweet. Yeah, no, I think all Muslims do need that home away from home concept, considering the fact that, like Mehreen said earlier, we do not have a predominant Muslim population on campus. But now that we've heard Afra's plans for the future, Iqtimal, do you want to tell us about one of your favorite moments over this past year?
I think one of my favorite moments was, it's kind of a long moment. It's not necessarily one specific small moment, but it was the time when like I saw the sisterhood grow so much. Like I definitely remember the horse riding event the most, because last year I feel like the sisterhood wasn't as strong as we wanted it to be. You know, it was carrying a lot of baggage from the years before, following somewhat the same system as the year before. So the sisterhood was sort of dying out in some sense. And then we kind of reformulated that whole thing and we tried to rebuild the sisterhood from scratch. And I remember when we started to get so many sisters show up at events, and I used to be always like, wow, the sisters' presence, the sisters' attendance is so great. Like for a Dawah event, we like, if I have to tell you how little sisters we got last year for Dawah, you'll be shocked. But for the one Dawah event we did, which was Roots and Roots, there were more sisters than there were brothers. There were rows of sisters. It was really amazing to see. And I think that was something that was really beautiful, having people that were like genuinely, you know, enjoying the MSA, looking at the fruits of the MSA. Even when we look at the amount of people who applied for extended shura, I think there was around 40 people, like in total, like for shura and extended shura, I think there are around 40-ish plus people that applied in total. Like that is, Mahri, did you have a number like that last year? Was that similar to what we had last year, or was that a lot more?
With the past, the 3 years before that I've been on the MSA, there was a stage when I joined the MSA back in 2021 where we took every single person on the shura that applied because we didn't have enough people. And we probably had 10, 11 people on the shura. So that's how many people applied. So not only have the numbers doubled, tripled, but four times more in your year. And that really shows what a great job you guys are doing.
Thank you. But yeah, that was such a that was such a beautiful thing. Like, even if you guys remember Sisters Welcome Night, the amount of sisters that came, or I know Sisters Welcome Night usually is a hit, but it was just very beautiful to see the amount of sisters that attend events, the amount of sisters that are actually keen to come, you know, the amount of effort we can put into the sisters, knowing that they would actually show up to events, knowing that they're excited, and the amount of people we've retained. Like, a lot of the people who have actually applied for now for MSA are people who've just seen at events and know well, and that's it. And that has been enough for them to see how nice the MSA is and join. So that has been like a moment for me in the MSA that has been really beautiful. So
why is having such a sisterhood or good friendship so important for us?
I think it's really important because it's really hard to find something like this. It's really hard to find people who are practicing, people who are keen for their deen. Everyone has faults. I have faults. Everyone in this court has faults. No one's talking about making friends who are perfect Muslims, but we're talking about people who actually have a drive to you know, make sure, you know, that pursuing their deen, have a drive to better the community. It's really hard to find that. I genuinely believe it's difficult. Like, when I was in high school, it was very difficult to find that. In fact, I didn't really have any Muslim friends. Like, majority of my friends were non-Muslims. Unfortunately, quite bad friends, but they were still, like, their attitude towards life was very different to what I had, which was I wanted to, you know, I wanted to be focused on my deen, whereas they wanted to be focused on things that were quite not good. So finding that sisterhood is very difficult, in my opinion, especially based on where you've grown up, what type of environment you've been in prior. And so being able to find that here, so people who are actually driven for their deen, people who actually want to, you know, like, if you fall short, they pull you up for it. Like, they're not afraid to tell you, hey, you know, or like, for example, you're backbiting someone, I'm not afraid to tell you, hey, let's stop backbiting. It's a very beautiful thing, like, in my opinion. It's not judging. It's genuine looking out for each other. And I think that's something that is very hard to find in people. And it's something that's very beautiful to have once you have built that friendship with them.
I completely agree. I feel like with the MSA, I got so used to the idea of having such genuine sisterhood and friends where we constantly are looking out for each other that I felt so sheltered. But then when you really step out of the MSA back into real world, it's almost as if a child is relearning how to live. You really get to see people that have a different way of thinking to you, that are not afraid to step over you, or, you know, you have to be a bit more cautious about the people you're around. Whereas the people I met in MSA, quality-wise, if I was speaking, are people that sincerely care about you because they sincerely fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think for those people that are a bit hesitant about, should I join the MSA, should I not join the MSA, you are literally giving up such a great opportunity to meet people that are like-minded, meet great quality people that you can build such great friendships with that will inshallah last a lifetime. Like, these are the friendships that are going to be going outside uni. These are the friendships that, you know, tomorrow you're going to be, you know, growing old with, hopefully. But we really do take our friendships for granted and forget that our friends are those that impact our deen, and we are on the deen of our friends. From this point, if I was to move on to this idea of, you know, we've been in the MSA, we have, you know, given that time, we have learned, we have become these better people. Where do we go from here? Like, if I was to ask you guys the question of, how has MSA influenced your future and where are you headed?
I think the one thing that the way MSA has affected the way I look at my future is it's given me a lens of what to look for, like what to look for in communities, what to look for in people, you know, and what not to look for, you know. So it's given me definitely insight into, like, you know, these people I've interacted with in the MSA, these are the type of people I want to find outside of the MSA. I want to find people who are sincere like them. I want to find people who are genuinely looking out for me in that way that they were looking out for me back then. And that's why, I'm not going to lie, I've been thinking about joining OnePath, following in your footsteps, Mehreen. I think every VP is eventually going to join OnePath. But if I qualify for it, that is. But I do, it has driven me to want to join an Islamic association after, or to, in a sense, make an impact to the Islamic world in some way. I don't want to just do my job And that's not to undermine someone who just works and that's it. Like, obviously, if you're doing it for the sake of Allah, that is a lot, right? That is not something that's something that should undermine. But I want to do more than that. It's opened my eyes because I know I'm capable of doing more. And it's not like arrogance. It's just that I've seen my capabilities this year. I've seen how much I had to give up time and I was still able to get through what I had to get through. Because I've seen the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in your actions. Like, for example, if I had to do like MSA and I had 2 days left to finish my entire assignment, I would finish it in that 2 days because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put barakah in my time. Because the other days I was spending it for the sake of Allah. I wasn't spending it wasting my time, right? And in terms of where I want to go next, I want to be able to join an Islamic association or do something that's impactful for the community as a whole. And I think like my law work is really important for this. My law work is, I work in a law firm that specializes in charity law. And my lawyer is one that he literally says, I want to run the law firm based on the Quran and Sunnah. And he works with the Muslim charities in Australia. So that in and of itself, like even if I just do law and I just do that, that in and of itself is really fulfilling because I'm working directly with the Muslim community. And that's what I want, whether it's through my job or whether it's through being in an actual association or opening my own association, which might be a bit of a stretch, but yeah.
Can I add something else as well? Something that I just thought of as Ithma was speaking, but I think what MSA shows you for the future is not only that you are able to, not only that there are so many opportunities available to you, it's that in whatever sort of organization or cause or initiative you're working for, you can actually make a tangible difference. And I think that a lot of people get sort of not spooked, but they hesitate to commit themselves to something, especially when they think that, you know, I'm just one person. What can I do to change the world, right? But it's really that tiny drop in the ocean that is going to create waves, inshallah, and actually make a difference. So yeah, that's just something I wanted to add as well.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I feel like we should always remember that all the work we do is everything that we put in for the Ummah. We should remember that the real reason we're doing this, not for the attention, not for the validation, not for anything else, but just we're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that all the work we put in is going to benefit both us and the Ummah. But finally, one last question. Ikhtimal, we want to hear, what advice do you have to give to Afra for her future brain?
Oh, damn, that's a hard question. Let me think. Okay, I think the number one thing that is very important when you're becoming a leader or stepping into a leadership position is understanding the weight of what is on your shoulders at the moment. You know, it's definitely something that's very exciting. Like, you know, you're able to do more for the Ummah, but it's also something very heavy, heavy on your shoulders. You think of, you would come to realize that every decision you make as a vice president has an effect on someone or something. And not every time the effect is positive. You know, I've seen it, like, you might think that I'm making the right decision in this context. I believe I'm making the right decision in this context. I've consulted people. I believe I'm making the right decision. But you see the negative effects on some people. It's a very interesting dynamic because you as a leader, you begin to see how much your decisions actually have an effect. It's different to when you were like a shura member, where you're working within your department. And ultimately, any decisions you make, they end up getting filtered by the current PVP. But now, you are that PVP. You're meant to be that filter. You're meant to think of everything that needs to be considered, needs to be thought of, to make sure that the environment that you have in the MSA is as conducive as you want it to be or envision it to be. So it's kind of about understanding the gravity of this amana. And I'll link it to a few things that I've seen, like, when I do some reading, Islamic reading, saying that. When I was reading, there's a book by Sheikh Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah. And he has written a book, and in that book he was talking about leadership, and he mentions narrations that the Sahaba actually, they didn't want to take leadership upon themselves. Like, there are people from the time of the Prophet and after him where leadership was something that they actually didn't want to embrace because they understood how much of an amana it was. You know, if you read the story of Umar ibn Khattab, you see that he was actually so worried. He was so intensely worried about if he is fulfilling the haq of every single person who's under his leadership. And obviously, Afri, you're not becoming a khalif of the ummah. So I know it's not identical, but it is still very important. You've been placed this amana on your shoulders and you have to fill it out exactly. It is. And the thing, the scary thing is, I guess, for me at least, was that, you know, on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring me ahead of Him and He's going to ask me, you know, why did you allow this? Why did you prohibit this? Because ultimately the decision's in my hand and in President's hands. I have a way to influence the decision, and if I chose not to influence it because of XYZ insufficient reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask me first and foremost. I'm the one who's going to be held accountable for it. So that would be the biggest piece of advice. Like, I guess understanding the gravity of what you're stepping into. And this is, I know it sounds scary, but it makes your life so much, it actually makes being vice president easier, because you know, I need to think of XYZ thing before I make a decision. It doesn't feel like I've kind of missed something. So like, if you go into a VP without this mindset, you're going to start making decisions. You're going to start seeing the impact on other people. And you're going to think to yourself, Ya Allah, like, what have I done? You know, what have I done? I've messed up here. I've messed up there. I should have thought of this. You know, you're going to start thinking of this stuff. And that's why it's so important to come into it knowing that I actually have this burden on my shoulders and something I have to be able to lift and make sure I'm guiding people on the right path. And I actually said this in a previous meeting within the shura meetings. But I mentioned that, you know, you're basically running a ship. And, you know, Afra, you're the sailor. So you're the one who's actually steering the ship. You're steering it with the president. And all of those people on the ship are your crew. You know, either you lead your crew to set up the sails like you want them, to maintain the ship like you want it to, or you leave the crew to be as they are and your ship will sink. So yeah, that would be my biggest advice. And my second advice would be, have fun. Don't make MSA be tormenting for you or be such a burden on your shoulders to the extent that you miss out on actually enjoying it. Definitely have fun while you're there as well.
You couldn't have worded the advice any better. I feel like not only Afra, but I feel like everyone will resonate with many aspects of the words you shared.
Thank you very much, Ikhtimal, for sharing that. And I think, you know, it is exciting. It is nerve-wracking. And like Ikhtimal said, you do feel worried sometimes about stepping into this role, thinking, you know, am I going to be making the right decisions? But like Ikhtimal said, you know, at the end of the day, you think back to, I guess, what Allah would want you to do in this situation. And when the Day of Judgment does come, what decision or what choices you make are the ones that will please Him and will allow you to, inshallah, pass the test of this life. But yeah, thank you, Ikhtimal.
No worries. I'll just add one more thing to that. You're going to actually face some pressures to, it comes in any leadership position where you're going to face these pressures to have to make compromises. And sometimes there's compromises that they ask you to make that compromise your deen, you know? And know that no matter how much feelings are hurt from you not agreeing, you should still follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered for you. Because it's a very difficult position as well. Like, people will be like, you know, why did you make this decision? Why did you do this? Why don't you follow this thing? Why? It doesn't matter. Like in all due respect, I can't compromise the deen itself for something like this. You know, it's more important to me. And you will face these. Like, I'm sure Mahreen can tell you endless tales of how she's faced this. And I've also faced this as well. And it's just about being principled and firm on what you believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be approving of, like being firm in that decision, but also being able to be like understanding and reasonable with people's requests. Like if there is room for difference of opinion, if there is room for you to be flexible, be flexible, definitely. Be easygoing. There's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ said that, you know, he was to paraphrase, he was kind of easygoing in matters where it was possible to be easygoing with them, you know? And they should definitely adopt that. But don't ever like buckle under the pressure and compromise something that you should never have compromised.
Thank you, Iktimal, for those amazing words of advice. And I'm sure that Afra will benefit from each and everything you said in the coming year that she has to serve as vice president. We'll end off our podcast today on a high note. And for all those listeners out there, I hope you found the wise words of Iktimal and wise words of Afra really helpful. And may it serve as a motivation for you to maybe take that first step in joining the MSA. And if you're someone who's already in the MSA, hopefully this is a sign for you to start becoming more active, as MSA is a stepping stone into many opportunities in life, where it will connect you not only to great sisterhood, but to the wider Muslim community. I wish all the best to Iktimal for her future endeavors and the world that waits for her beyond the MSA. And for Afra, I wish you the best of luck, because I know that you will be the best vice president for the year to come. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us all in our shortcomings, and may He strengthen us to be the best leaders, not only within our homes, but within our communities, within our circles, and be the best representation of Islam within this wider community, Australian soil that we stand on. Jazakumullahu khairan, Iktimal and Afra, for joining us today. And assalamu alaikum, everyone.